We've been talking about prayer all this month, and today I want to talk about the importance of dependence in prayer. And we get this from almost every aspect of Scripture. I've pulled out a few that I'll read to get us started. Acts chapter 4, verse 28 says this, "They," referring to Herod and the Jews, "They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants. Stretch out your hand." In every aspect of this early church prayer, we read that they were knowing and understanding that God was in full control, that God's power was able to overcome anything that was going on. During this time when the Jewish leaders were persecuting the church had very little power. And so they called on God's. They called on God's power. They prayed, "Enable your servants, stretch out your hand." We often feel powerless to make changes in our world and in our society. But really, our greatest power is not ourselves. It's because we talk to the God who has all power. Acts chapter 9, verse 40. "Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning to the dead woman, he said, 'Tabitha, get up.'" Peter did not assume that the power rested in him himself. But he knew that power was God's. It was on his knees and in prayer that he was able to ask God to do this miraculous thing. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." He refers to the power within us as an all-surpassing power. It means it can overcome anything. It can accomplish anything. But it is not ours. It is not our power to possess and wield. We are dependent upon God to do the action, to accomplish the thing, to produce the powerful act of which we ask. And because it is an all-surpassing power and to show that it is from God and not from us, God puts this power in jars of clay, vessels that are easily broken, easily wounded, weak and fragile. The power in prayer is not something that we wield as if it was our own. Power in prayer comes because we are humbly asking the God who is powerful, the God who has all surpassing power, to accomplish what we ask. Some years ago, I had a member of my congregation who was the picture of fitness. Tall, athletic, he was a coach of a couple of different sports because he was also a teacher and did that as the extra sort of income. And a few years before I arrived at the church, he had a health problem. Even though he looked completely healthy, he had underlying issues that were difficult. He went into the operating room for this very difficult procedure, and his family was staying out in the waiting room. And as the procedure began, things were going smoothly. And then about halfway through, he started bleeding out. The blood was just pouring out of his veins as the doctors were doing the surgery. And the doctors immediately started praying during the surgery while they were quickly moving their hands to try and soak it up and surgically suture it back together. The doctor, after the surgery, not knowing anything had happened, the doctor showed up to talk to the family afterwards, and he said, "Your husband lost so much blood, I didn't think he had anything left. He should have died on the operating table, but he didn't. And there's only a miracle that we can count that up to." We have in our lives circumstances that only God can fix, that only God can intervene in. When we realize that we are dependent upon him, when we come to realize how much we need from God on a daily basis, we realize the kind of attitude that we should have in prayer, the kind of attitude we should have towards God in our daily lives. Dependence is one of the best words, I think, for describing the kind of relationship, the kind of attitude that we should have in our prayers. A well-known pastor made this comment, and I think it's important, I think, that we keep this in mind. He said, "I have discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him." God is attracted to those who are dependent upon him, those who are recognizing of their need, whether it be physical things or forgiveness or other aspects of their lives. Dependence is an incredibly important part of how we relate to God and how he seeks those to whom he hears. Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians again, says this of God. He says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." God spoke to Paul and said, "My power is made perfect in weakness." That means that God can work in our greatest hurts, our deepest worries, our most unbelievably impossible crises. God's power is revealed in our weakness when we cast ourselves upon him alone. When we come to the point of realizing that we cannot fix someone or something that we love so dearly. When we can't get out of a problem that we are in. When we cast ourselves upon a God who is powerful and able to make the changes that are needed, we learn that we are dependent on him. In prayer, that should be our posture, our attitude, that we are dependent on God, that we lean on God, that we trust in God. What is a big thing that could you pray for that's beyond your power? What big thing could you pray for that is beyond your power? In your mind or on your notes, make a quick list of people in your sphere of life. People who are having spiritual struggles. The struggle could be whether they believe in God at all or not. Maybe their struggle is that they don't show up for worship. Maybe they've made choices in life. As you're making a list of those people who need prayer, who are beyond your own power to influence or change. Think about what kind of category they might fit into. Is the person you're praying for someone that needs a total change in their lives? They have made such a mess of it, or life has made such a mess of them, that they need a total overhaul, that things are so messed up that they need huge amounts of change. Maybe the person just needs a big shift, a change in their choices in one or two areas of their lives. Or maybe they're doing all right, they just got this one thing that needs to get figured out. When you're making your list of people, are you asking for something that is huge, something that is just large, or something that is kind of just, a little improvement would make their lives better? Sometimes in prayer, heavy lifting takes a long time. Ask any mother who's been praying for a child who hasn't called. Ask any mother whose child has gotten themselves into all kinds of trouble with the law. The kind of overhaul in some people's lives is a years or decades long prayer process. They pray day after day, month after month, year after year. Sometimes prayer is a huge lift. People that are doing okay in life, but they need to make some big changes. Those sort of levels of prayer maybe take a month or two to be praying about. Of your list of people, those who you have on your mental list or your paper list there, who do you think you could be praying for concentrated for a month or two, and you think God might move or change that aspect of their lives? I would encourage you to make those people a priority. Not because the big things that take decades to pray through are unimportant, but because sometimes we get discouraged in our prayers when we don't see results, when we don't see things change. Have we done any heavy lifting lately? When we pray for things that are beyond our ability, that are not just random chance, we give God a chance to act, to move. God looks at us and says, who is dependent? Who is needy? Who recognizes that they need his intervention? Are our prayer lives filled with things that are just quality of life issues? We pray for a little something here, a little bit better there. But in reality, it doesn't make much difference. God moves in a way to show that he is in charge. And so it takes this motion, this emphasis in our lives of prayer to bring about what God has in store. Sometimes we want to pray for huge things. It's like whenever you have those Miss America contests, and they all have to say the thing that they want most in the world, and you know what they all say? World peace. I'd love a world where everyone gets along and there are no more wars, and how wonderful that would be. Do you know how heavy of a lift that is? Human nature is one where we love to fight one another. We love to get angry at one another. And if we have big enough weapons, we like to shoot those at each other. Just drive around Indianapolis on the circle sometime. Those kinds of heavy lifts are ones where we don't see any progress. We don't see God really making huge changes because there's always somebody willing to fight one another. The kind of prayers that I think would be movable, that God sees and says, I can do that and I want the credit for it, are the ones that are in that medium range, that take months but not decades. I think I'm losing you. I'm going to try and wrap this together here. You've got people in your lives who are struggling with things. You've got children or grandchildren who have things in their lives that you would love to see better, and a faith and relationship with God that you would love to see deeper and grow. If you would pour yourself into those prayers over the next few months, I think that you would see movement and change in many ways. It doesn't mean across the board, it doesn't mean 100%, but I think you'd see progress in your prayer lives. Too often, our prayers, I feel like, are filled with things that are safe. I think we fill our prayer lives with things that are easy and safe. So-and-so is going into surgery. So-and-so is going in because they have a bunion. So-and-so is going to see their doctor because they have a boo-boo. We play it safe because the doctor is going to be the one that really provides the cure. We play it safe because it's something that we can ask God for, and it's great that we're asking God for it. But it is not something that in the end I think he gets a lot of credit for. Our prayers are powerful, but it's because he acts. And if we can pray those things and ask God for those things that only he can do, the changing of someone's heart and mind, the fixing of something that is otherwise impossible, then we allow God the ability to show his true power in our weakness, in our inability. We often ask God for things that are safe. We often don't have a dedicated, intentional prayer life that prays for things that only God can accomplish. If we acknowledge who we are in these situations and that we are calling upon a God who is completely powerful and able to do anything we can imagine, anything that is possible, he can accomplish. But if all we do is ask him to help the doctor, I don't know that that's really what we're trying to accomplish as Christians. What person in your life needs to make a change? That's not a complete overhaul of everything they've ever done or chosen. But it is a change that you think only God can accomplish. If you're a mama or a daddy who's gone to your child or grandchild and you've invited them to church and you've invited them to this and you've talked to them about things in their lives and the progress isn't happening, maybe prayer is where it needs to be. God's ability is not limited. But he waits for us to pray about it. In college, there's a group of four of us that had met, and we were meeting for prayer and Bible study every sort of week. We talked all the time, and it was becoming the end of the school year. And we each had our different separate things that we were going to go and do. Each of us was off to a different thing. One was on a business venture. One was going to be running church camps all summer. I was headed to do youth ministry for the summer. I don't remember where the fourth guy was going. We were all headed to different places. And we each decided that we were going to pray for one of the other people in the group. And I prayed for the guy who was going to church camp. And the prayers were something that you would probably worry about, because the guy asked that he would, that we would be praying for him, that he would have a better, deeper relationship with God himself by the time he was done working at the church camp. So we prayed that for him. And when he came back in the fall after he was done with church camp, he said it was the worst church camp summer he'd ever had. But it was also the one where he felt like he had the best connection with God that he'd ever had. Prayers have the ability to change what's going on. And if we pray prayers that are safe, sometimes we'll never know whether God was intervening or whether it was the doctor who did it or however it worked out. But when we pray prayers that show that we are dependent on him, that we need him to act, where he is the one who is responsible for accomplishing the task, then it proves that he is the one who is able and not us. That it's us and not the doctor who they're going to get treated by. That it's us and not just, excuse us, God and not us. We pray for things, and we need to be praying for things that are things of a big shift, so that we can watch and see if God answers. So we can watch and see if God is the one who is doing the responding to our prayers. Sometimes when people go to pray, they think that they have to be spiritual giants, that they have to have some sort of extra special connection to God, an extra special life. But Jesus gives this advice about prayer. He says that a little faith can make the impossible reality. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Why does Jesus say that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed? Because your faith can be as tiny and small and insignificant. Whether your prayers are the prayers of a 3-year-old or a 10-year-old, whether they are the prayers of a sinner or a saint, whether they are the prayers of someone who has spent their whole life learning about God or someone who spent their whole life running from God. It's not the size of your faith that matters. Because it is not you who is accomplishing the prayer. The reason why it's only a grain of mustard seed that is the size of faith that matters that can move a mountain is because it is God's power that is moving the mountain. It is God who is on the power chart. It is God who is the one who is able to make the change. We are simply the ones doing the asking. A pastor friend of mine, known for quite some time, worked with his wife for many years. Before he was serving in the church, he was a chaplain at a hospital. And like many organizations, they every year reviewed where they could cut the budget, where they could save money here and invest in money over there. And after several years, this gentleman found that his department was on the chopping block. He was head of chaplaincy for the entire hospital. He employed a few clergy to go around and pray with people in their rooms and talk with them through things. The chaplain found that his department was on the chopping table and he needed to find a way to save it. And so he said, "Let me do a study. Let me dive into what's going on and see if I can show you that you should keep my department." So the head of chaplaincy set up a double-blind study. What he did was he had his clergy say which rooms and which people they went to and visited and what kind of visit they received. And then he, on the other side, compared the notes and progress of their diagnosis and their treatment. And here was the assessment: that the people who had a clergy person come in and pray with them during their visit in the hospital recovered faster, required less medicine, and stayed healthier afterwards, didn't come back in the hospital as often as those who didn't have the clergy come visit. In fact, even if the clergy member just stepped in the room and prayed and the person didn't even know they were there, had the same results. Just being prayed for changed their medical outcomes. In fact, the friend of mine was able to show that he was saving the hospital money, and they decided to keep his chaplaincy program. Prayer changes things. Prayer makes a difference in people's lives. So instead of playing it safe, instead of just praying for the little things that come our way, let's put ourselves in a position where we are dependent on Him to make things change, to make a difference. So that we can see Him act, we can see Him move, we can see the choices and answers that He gives. Prayer has the ability to change the things going on in our world. And God is drawn to those who are dependent on Him, those who are in need, those who desire His action. No matter what your prayer's like, I think that this is probably true. Our prayers are too small. Our prayers are too safe. Our prayers are too faithless. That we are doubtful sometimes of God's ability. So I challenge you. I challenge you for this coming month. Pick something that you have tried to move and change. Pick something that you have done your best to accomplish and has come back at nothing, and pray about it. Pray about it every day. Pray about it with that for that person that you're trying to move and change and that you're worried about and there seems to be no movement. Pray about the thing that is at work or a person at work who's causing trouble or difficulty. Pray about them every day and see what change happens. Pick something that God can do and you have been unable to, and let him do the powerful lifting. Let him do the impossible. Let him do the changing. Because God can accomplish more than we ask or even imagine. And it is when we come to him dependent, acknowledging that we are not the ones who are able, that then God can shine through. I challenge you. Pick something big and watch God move. Lord, we get into the idea that routine prayers, praying for the basic sort of things day after day, though important, maybe aren't the things that you are most concerned about. Lord, as we end this series on prayer, I pray, Lord, that our lives will become more dependent on you, that we will pray in ways and pray for things that will accomplish things that are large, that are big, that only you can do. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us not to just throw out mumbly words and repeated phrases, but to dive deeply into a relationship with you where we plead and ask for the things and that we can see you respond. Lord, as we pray, as we think about those people and circumstances in our lives that are most in need of your power and change, we pray, Lord, for your response. We pray, Lord, that your ears would be open and your heart attuned to the words of your children. For, Lord, we depend upon you. And Lord, whether our faith be as tiny as a mustard seed, or we think it's something more than that, we acknowledge, Lord, that we are weak, that we are dependent, and we pray your power moves. Lord, make us better in prayer. Amen.